everybody. It's Aaron Morrow again, your local realtor in the greater Seattle area, and my co-host, Brian LaFlame. All of his contacts info there. You don't need the introduction. If you've watched one of these, you've watched all of them. And
that's our secret. We never say anything different. This is just the same thing. We change clothes, same script.
Exactly. All the same stuff. Well, today we're going to talk about no to low down payment options and, you know, a better tagline that Brian came up with is it always better to put more money down too? Because we're not just coming after the peeps that are struggling to get into a home with little to no money down, but we're also coming after you folks that really are just hard pressed that you think you need to be saving up for that 20% down or more to get into a house.
Yeah, we've talked about house hacking. We've talked about buy versus rent. We've talked about how real estate is the way into, through, and out of the middle class in America.
Right.
So we talk about wealth or real estate a lot as a wealth builder as well. And so we're going to go into that. Should you be putting a bunch of money down? What does it look like if you do? Can we compare that one to another if you put a bunch of money down or if you go with a lower down payment and then do something else with that cash that you have? So yeah, we're trying to hit it from another angle today too.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. No, I'm glad that we're going to be covering all this. And so of course, if any of you have any questions at all, I'm monitoring all three of the screens in my spaceship. So,
please mess with him. I don't know. Say, try to spell chrysanthemum a bunch in the chat and just like work it out. So Aaron keeps looking at who's chatting or bureaucracy, which is, I tried to spend COVID learning how to spell bureaucracy and I gave up and watched Tiger King instead.
So put in the chat, you know, I'd love to learn how to spell bureaucracy too. Yeah. So.
Neither of us.
Link,
hold on.
So,
this show is going to have visuals again, like last week did.
Yes.
Concepts, and I want to simplify them as much as possible. And visually is the best way to do that. So if you're not on a visual medium right now, make sure you check out the YouTube that Aaron mentioned in the show notes.
Our podcasters appreciated that. I got comments from our podcast that we verbally mentioned that, and we tagged that in our podcast where they could find that. So again, quick reminder, guys, this is being for podcast listeners or anyone that's watching on multiple platforms. This, of course, is being streamed on YouTube, but it's also it's on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Clapper. So I always mention Clapper.
And all right, guys. And Hognog and Eggnog and Lip Lap and every other social media you can.
And any other one that comes out that will be relevant, we'll start.
Aaron's top eight friends on MySpace are watching this right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I have a MySpace account anymore, but it's probably owned by a bot now. You know, so
I bet. Yeah, Tom sold that for.
I wonder if it still has. Yeah, I wonder if I could still. You know. Yeah. Good. Well. Yeah, let's get into some of the, if any of you have any questions though, get into the comment section. I will be monitoring it. And then again, like always, I'll drop our contact info into the chat after the live. And Brian, take it away. Let's get into some of these scenarios with different down payment options and all that good stuff.
So I assume you can hear me now, but I am frozen as I tried to present. So we're just going to abide some time.
Oh, you are? Yeah, I can see you visually. You're looking good. Gotcha. Yeah. Your office background's looking good.
All right. Okay. So now let me share. And we are. Boom. All right. I got it ready for you to. So what we're looking at today is we're going to look at, this is hard to see, but I'm going to zoom in. So don't worry about it. This is just what the whole thing looks like. We're going to look at a $500,000 purchase in and around the Seattle area and look at putting a 3.5% down payment down with FHA. Or a 20% down payment and conventional. We're going to look what those payments look like, what the money due at closing is, and then we're going to look at if you were to put more or less money down, what are the costs and benefits? So,
awesome.
Like I said, I'll zoom in. This is what that looks like here. We have a $500,000 purchase price, and then we have 20% down, and we have 3.5% down for FHA. This isn't quite, if you're doing the math along at home and carrying the one on your abacus, this isn't quite 3.5% less than 500 because the FHA has their upfront mortgage insurance premium that's financed in. So it's 3.5%. 1.75. These are similar rates for today, which is 2/23/2024. This is not an offer to lend, so I'm not going to give you all of the disclosures that, but we do have an APR. And then look at the payment here. So 20% down on a conventional loan, that's your payment, and 3260. 3.5% down on a $500,000 purchase. This is your payment, $4,005. So it's a difference of about 400 something bucks. We can see what our cash to close is. Now, in this instance, what I assumed was somebody had $100,000 and they were going to use that as a down payment. or they were not. And so you can see here the cash to close is 110,764. That's 100,000 plus some closing costs. And the payment difference, I'm sorry, is $745. So you're making $745 more of a payment and less money down. And that's when most people stop. Hey, it's cheaper per month. I should probably do this. Maybe, but let's take a look. So if you look again at the payment difference, you can see it's $745 more to do the 3.5% down FHA. Over the first 5 years, you're actually going to save $37,320 by going with 20% down conventional because you're paying so much interest over time. But what we want to look at really is what would we do with that money if we didn't put it down? So remember I said we got $100,000. I want to see a table of what data we're using here. I looked up on NerdWallet the average S&P return over the past 5, 10, and 15 years. So we're going to go right in the middle here. The 15-year return is 12.63% per year. I don't want to use these COVID years of 15.36 because the stock market took off during COVID with all that government intervention. So what I did was we assumed that the money that the person who did use the FHA loan did not, they didn't put that extra 16.5% down. Instead, they invested that money at this 12.63% average return over the next 15 years. And if you look at that, you can see their net worth in 15 years if they add nothing else to it. They've got the person who put 20% down has a net worth of $890,502 almost entirely from equity on their house. The person who put 3.5% down gets very similar equity position, of course, because well, the house is growing at the same pace, but they just owe more on their amortization because they have a higher loan amount. But look at the difference here. Their net worth is almost $500,000 more than the person who put 20% down because they use their remaining $76,000 in an S&P index fund. And this is how their wealth grew. So when we say real estate is a growth asset and it's a wealth builder, absolutely it is, because the majority of the wealth came from the equity in their house over the years. However, look at this huge.
All right, folks, we're waiting for Brian to come back.
Hey, back.
Brian, no worries. You left us on a huge cliffhanger. You said, look at this huge, and you cut off. So it was a good suspense. So look at this huge what, Brian?
Incredible difference in wealth. Look at this huge bar graph. This incredible difference in wealth between the person who put less put less money down, invested it in an S&P index fund at 12.5% over the next 15 years. They got about $500,000 more in wealth. Now, I wanted to make it a little bit more fair. So in order to do that, I said, well, okay, you're paying $700-something a month less on this conventional loan. So while you don't have this big chunk of money, now the $74,000, $76,000 to put into an index fund, you do have $700-something a month that you're not paying in mortgage. So what if instead of this big chunk over the next 15 years, 20% down person socked that money into an S&P index fund every single month? So they had the exact same outgo then as the lower down payment person, $4,005 a month. $3,200 was mortgage, $3,700 mortgage, and the rest was invested. Even with that, they cannot catch up. So that person, the 20% down, who for 15 years put over $700 a month into this index fund.
Over a decade and a half. Wow.
So I say a lot to people when we do our real estate classes, when I'm sitting down with them and giving advice, I'm a big fan of leveraging other people's money. Just a huge fan.
Yeah. So is the owner of the company I even work, or, you know, Gary Keller.
Yeah.
He's all about leveraging money too. So he's not a big
I don't know why you wouldn't. We've been set up as a debt growth society. And if you put 5% down on a house, and in Seattle over the past 63 years, houses have gone up 5.09%. So in the next year, it goes up 5%. You have doubled your money. If you put 20% down and it goes up 5%, you have a 20% return, which is great. I'm not saying it's bad, but you've doubled the 5%. So your ROI is much higher on the lower down payment. Yes, again, we want to take the sword away and say the payment is higher. Of course it is. We accounted for that and said you just put one chunk of money in this S&P index fund and you never touch it. You never add another dollar to it. And you've got $500,000, about $500,000 more of net worth of a percent down person. Okay, so you put that money in, you never touch it, and the 20% down person tries to catch up by the difference in monthly payment. They put $700-something a month in the S&P index fund. They still are over about $350,000 less of a net worth than the person who put 3.5% down. So we went over huge, like really important numbers on rent versus own last week. We've gone over house hacking before. What this podcast, one of the things that we strive for is to bring you relevant data to look deeper into the information than you have looked at before. And the surface level of something is almost never exactly what it is. So when you look and say, hey, my payment's going to be lower, that means it's a better deal. I should put 20% down so I don't pay mortgage insurance. I should put 20% down. I should not do an FHA loan because I'm going to pay mortgage insurance forever. This also assumes this person never refinanced to a low rate. Like that, unfortunately, is not always the case. And it's why when we sit down with clients, Aaron and I, when we sit down with clients over Zoom, we go over their entire real estate picture, not just the price of the house and the mortgage interest rate. Those are two important things, but they're not the be all end all. We go over the entire strategy based off what their goals are for the future so that we can build something around that.
Right.
What do you guys think? Anything, anybody in the chat think, hey, that makes sense, or hey, that doesn't make sense, or hey, I got to go to the bathroom, or hey, my nose itches.
Chat's not too alive today just because I didn't do the whole prep it for 2 days type of thing. You know,
that's on me.
No, it's cool. Yeah, I mean, we have some people popping in and out, but no one's, I don't know if we're going to get anyone asking me.
Maybe we redo this in a future episode too.
I definitely think so. This is good because I like this info and I think it's a good deep dive. This is a good preview. One thing I will mention, because to riff off of what you're just talking about, I talked to a recent, I always call them clients, but like long-term friends that like might eventually buy. Yeah. Right? client that they've been working so hard at saving up money, like super safe, super, super.
For safe. How long?
Years. I'm talking, I've been talking to them for like 4 or 5 years. They've been saving up money. Ouch. And they have but limited income. I'm talking about like
math is math.
Like under 70K, you know, like they make decent but limited income. They've saved up, even on that limited income, they've saved up over 100K. And like, I'm like, but like, I was telling them years ago, guys, let's get you in on the lowest down payment possible when house prices are lower and let that equity build up, you know, but they weren't having it. But now when they're finally ready to really get into home ownership, like now they're like, okay, our family's ready. And that's fine. Like, their family's ready. They want to get into home ownership, but they realized they wanted to get into home ownership then too. But they were just fixated on this, like this. I'm not going to call any of the gurus out there, but we know who they are. Those gurus that talk about zero debt and needing 20% down on a house. They were hung up on that needing 20% down, even though I told them, let's get you in front of one of my lenders to have that conversation, and they just weren't having it. And now they told me, Aaron, we see now that we've worked so hard saving up this money over the past few, you know, several years. Now, I'm what's the difference between few and several, right? Because I'm talking about 5 years here.
Few is three, several is four or more, I think.
Five, yeah, several, yeah. And yeah, they do sort of regret now because they've seen how the areas they're looking in now, houses when they could have done 3%, you know, 3.5% down or 5% down when they had the money for it, were in the 300Ks now. And now houses, even though they have 100K now, those houses are above 700. So they're just, they're outpaced for their income. Even though they were super savvy savers, now they're like, now we're stuck. What do we do? Like,
well, two things happen.
Now we get,
One, they missed out on really low rates. And so they missed out on less expensive housing. Pricing has gone up. It'll probably go up about 6.5 to 6.8% when we get the Case-Shiller data next week in 2023, even with higher interest rates. So prices continue to climb nationwide. So housing is not getting less expensive. Unfortunately, 70K is a really good income. And in this Seattle market, that could be tough. And I do a thing in my first-time homebuyer classes where I talk about Gabe. Let's call him Rave Damsey.
Rave Damsey.
He should have 15-year mortgage, 20% down. And I do the math of if you wanted to buy a $500,000 house with 20% down and you didn't have the money, but you could save $15,000 a year. So you forego getting one latte a week and avocado toast on Wednesdays, and then you got 15 grand. Because that's apparently what boomers think it takes to buy a house. So you can save $1,250. I'm going to do the math really quick. And then we're just going to have housing prices go up the normal 5% a year. So a little bit less than they average in Seattle. And you can save $15,000. How long is it going to take you to get to $100,000 to get that down payment? And what will happen to housing?
Yeah, I can't wait to.
Let me share.
I was going to do a video on this too on my YouTube, but because I think it's.
Let me share my screen so you can see it. It's crazy.
The answer is not saving the avocado toast or the saving the Starbucks.
No. All right. You ready?
Yep.
It's going to buckle up your butts.
Buckle up, buttercup.
All right. So we're going to do some quick math on our calculator here. You can see.
Okay. Let me pull up your cap. Oh, wait. Yeah. I threw it up there.
The best. All right. So if you got a $500,000 house, we just went over this, 20% down is 100 grand. So we're going to say prices are going to go up just 5% a year, and we'll do the math together on how much you're saving. So the first year you put, you save $15,000, $1,250 a month, and the price went to $525. You do it again, and the price goes up to 551, 250. And I want to remind you guys what we've talked about in the past. This is compound appreciation. It's not 5% of 500 the second year. It's 5% of 525, which you can see now is 26,002. So you've got 30 grand in the bank for your down payment. You've got 45 grand in the bank for your down payment. You've got $60,000 in the bank for your down payment. You've been saving up for a while. That's 4 years of saving. Right now, you've got 75 grand in the bank. You've saved 75,000 for your down payment. 90 or almost there on year six. By year seven, you've saved $105,000. So you get five for yourself. But that $500,000 house, it's just normal 5% appreciation, is now 703, and 20% down is over $140,000. You just keep chasing your tail, and you have left that $203,000 on the sideline of your life. You don't have it.
Yep.
Which you would have had, even if it just, you just did the first year to save up $15,000 to do a down payment assistance loan and pay your closing costs.
Yep.
This is, you allow the market to pass you by, and you have to live inside. So you can say my rent is cheaper. Go back and look at last week's episode. Yeah, we absolutely believe that rent will be cheaper for the first few years, maybe even the first 10 years per month of purchasing.
If you don't plan on living in something in the same area for the indefinite future. Yeah.
But the wealth you leave on the table is astronomical. And this is, you know, this, go back to last week's episode, because we absolutely went over the math of the cost to get in, the cost to get out, how much you're going to actually, if you decide to sell, how much you would really come out with, and look at those numbers, because obviously 200.
And again, Brian, I want to know, I want you all to know, if you go look at last week's episode, Brian was super harsh, super conservative on those numbers to be, I'm not going to say pro rent, but like you had, that was very like,
we wanted to make it as pro rent as possible. Like we talked about straw manning versus steel manning or strong manning. We wanted the strongest argument for rent to see if our argument could hold up. We didn't want to, you know, some straw man, your landlord's going to never fix the mold and kick you out of your house and charge you $10,000 a month. Like, sure, there's stories like that, but we didn't want to, we wanted to make
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So no, yeah, I think that's great. And so we're just here to debunk the myth that like saving that Starbucks coffee to try to scrounge up, you're not, folks, don't, if you're in the boat where you think you need to save up the 20%, and that strategically will help you better for wealth management for your first home, and you're not in your first home yet, and you don't have other assets that you're buying through real estate, that's most likely not the best solution to go. And I most hope likely. Your financial advisor is like, unless you've talked to your financial advisor and you have a very specific situation that we're not talking about, most people that would not work for. Now, of course, this isn't talking about all the people that have all the stocks and, you know, who's trading in Bitcoin and all that stuff.
And the reality is you just sit down with a lender and ask and see. Sitting down with a lender does not mean you're buying a does not mean you're buying a house today or tomorrow. It just means you're preparing. It's the same way that you sit down with maybe a financial planner, or you sit down with a personal trainer when you want to start to get in shape. Sitting down with a personal trainer doesn't mean you're running a triathlon tomorrow or entering a weightlifting competition or any of those things. It means you're starting the journey. It's the same with sitting down with a lender.
I think a lot of people just feel the pressure of talking to either a lender or a realtor. Cause I talked to someone yesterday that, I follow up with, and you know, through doing some diving into like what their credit's at and whatnot, it sounds like they might not be ready for either like DPA yet based on where they think their score is. But then I said, it sounded like they were close enough that it would be worth a conversation with, you know, a lender. But they're not ready to have that conversation. And that's fine. But I think they're just, some people have that pressure of feeling like either talking to a lender or a realtor is like the same pressure that people have going into a car lot or the old way of going into a cell phone store. You know what I mean? I used to work in the cell phone industry too. I've never worked in a car lot, but like, so I think just people don't want to be sold to, you know? Whoa, where did that come from?
That was your voice. Sorry. Your voice coming back at you.
I feedback to you. Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know.
There is a reality. Yes. If you're in a cell phone store, it's because you need a phone. Almost certainly. If you're on a car lot, it's probably because you want to buy a car. If you're talking to a real estate agent or a lender or a financial planner, it's because you're making a plan for your whole life. You're not doing a thing today or tomorrow. And it is recommended that you meet with us before you're like, I need to move now. Now, if you're in that position, you absolutely have to meet with us. You got to move. But if you're not, like, we want to help you a year before, 6 months before, 8 months before. We want to make sure that you have time to set up the plan that's right for you.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. Most of these people that I'm referring to will It's interesting. I getting off on a tangent, but some of these people like to flip it in the, like to talk about the industry as a whole for people that are just listening or talking. So let's talk about like where people meet realtors or where realtors call them, right? Because a lot of people probably get calls from realtors and they're like, why is this realtor calling me? Where is this coming from? Well, it's from Clapper. Yeah. The moment you sign up for Clapper, you just, you're divulging all your data leaks. No, just kidding. No, I'm probably going to, Clapper is going to like lower my live stream now. No. What was I saying? Oh, so, well, where I was getting with it is most of the time when someone fills out like a form on Facebook, like a, like advertising, usually it's an agent that has like a post or Zillow and you're exchanging your contact information for an agent to reach out to you for said information. And usually it's like you requested a list of houses for sale or whatnot. But most of the time, the fine print is you agreed to have an agent reach out to you to figure out if they can help you with any, right? Whenever I'm doing this, it's a low pressure, just really trying to figure out if someone needs help whenever. Like, so like I'm not looking for someone that, because most agents, what they want to do is sift through all those leads and figure out who's ready to buy right now, right? Mm-hmm. And that's true to a point. You want to figure out who you can work with right now, and that's good. But well, I feel like some agents,
there has to be prioritizing.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But I try to approach it as telling everyone honestly that, hey, there's no pressure here. I get it. A lot of people are on guard, but like, I'm here to help you. Like, I'm a human. Like, let's have a connection. Do you, when are you looking to buy? Is it down the road? Like, there's no pressure here. How can I connect with you on a human level and help you when you're ready? And let's keep in touch and keep that dialogue going and come up with a strategy and an action plan to get you there. Because if we don't start that now, if you, you know, you clicked on the ad for some reason because you're kind of curious or interested in buying something someday, you know, let's figure out how we can better help you, you know? Anyway, so I thought I'd just throw that out there for some people, because I get a lot of people that are always like, why is this person calling me?
This fear of, you know, if I put my information in here, or why am I getting calls? Because I just wanted to find out about a house. Now everyone's calling me because I put my information in Zillow or Reddit or Facebook.
And some people put your information in wrong. So there are some people in there that probably are putting other people's contact info in, and there's a bajillion things that could go wrong too. So,
But the reality is you find somebody who cares about you. And like Aaron had said, there are realtors, there are lenders who you're a transaction to, just like in any walk of life, people are, can be, find somebody that you trust. So then maybe that's fine with you. You just want to do it, the transaction and never hear from somebody again. There's somebody for everybody. But from a selfish standpoint, from a business building standpoint, it makes much more sense to build a relationship, a longstanding relationship. The cost to per closing is much lower from a referral from somebody who knows and trusts you than from spending a bunch of money online for leads. Like, we're running businesses and we have to find our customers and we have to be able to serve people. Promise you, being in this for 20 years, it is so much more enjoyable to work with people I know and like than it is to just keep going and finding new people. Meet with us early. And then meet with us as often as you like to make sure that you're ready to make the most important decision that almost all of us make is when and how can I buy real estate, especially.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well,
that's it, guys. We got a lot of great fast data at you.
Looks like Brian's not here to wrap it up, but folks, anyone else, if any of you have any questions, you know where to find all of our contact information. I know Brian cut out, but thanks so much for everyone showing up for another one. If you, again, have any questions on anything that we covered, feel free to reach out. I have all of our contact information in the chat. Again, my name is Aaron Morrow, local realtor in the greater Seattle area, serving clients in King, Pierce, and Stonewich Counties. Brian LaFlame, mortgage lender here for all of Washington State. And we would be, you know, happy to help you with any of your real estate needs. All right.